And so today I want to share something with you, and I know I asked for testimonies. We'll perhaps have a couple of those a little bit later, okay? I just want to share something with you that I feel was so powerful here about a loving and compassionate God, because that's what I feel toward myself. God is out to seek and to save that which is lost. He's out to seek and help Mark become successful in my daily life by trusting Him. It does have a lot to do with forgiveness. And I want to share something with you in your handouts today. I titled it, From Wicked to Humble to Forgiven. And the example that we're going to look at today is based upon the same story, maybe a couple different phrases used, but we're going to go to 2 Chronicles, and same one is used in 2 Kings 21. 2 Kings 21 talks about the wickedness of Manasseh. 2 Chronicles 33 talks about it also. And I like to say this, the last three times I have shared, we've talked about we must forgive to be forgiven. We must forbear and forgive. And today, from wicked to humble to forgiven. So I guess forgiveness has been on my heart a lot lately. I believe the church needs to hear a lot about and understand a lot about forgiveness and to have a forgiving spirit. But in order to bring this forth and share just how much God wants to forgive, I want to share with you how wicked this person was and what happened as a result of his humbling himself. Because sometimes I believe we have trouble with people and they're not really all that wicked. We have trouble with people over silly, stupid issues. And if that hangs us up, if you can't keep up with the footman, how are you going to run with the horses? If you can't walk, how are you going to run? And so let's look at this example here of just how wicked Manasseh was and what happened to him for a few moments here. Now, Manasseh, some of you may realize this or may need to just be reminded that Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah, a righteous man who destroyed a lot of the abominations and a lot of the altars and idol worship and everything else that was set up back then. He was the son of Hezekiah. And I just want to share this with you about this scenario of wickedness and righteousness here about these kings. But Hezekiah had a wicked father. His name was Ahaz. Hezekiah was righteous. Hezekiah's son Manasseh was wicked until the end. Amon, his son, was wicked. And then Josiah was righteous. Wicked, righteous, wicked, righteous, wicked, wicked, righteous, you know. And so it is down through the ages. And so, look at God's attitude toward someone who just doesn't have his act together. This is so powerful. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became, in verse 1, 2 Chronicles 33, verse 1, he's 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He reigned more years than any king. All right, now, feel this with me. This is how wicked he was. He did evil, verse 2, in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had dispossessed before the sons of Israel. He was worse than those that God had already dispossessed. He rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. He also erected altars for the Baals and made Asherim, female goddesses, idols, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, My name shall be in Jerusalem forever. He went inside God's house, God's temple, and built altars. He built altars in verse 5 for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his sons, and another portion of scriptures in 2 Kings says, sons or son pass through the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. In other words, he practiced sacrificing his own children Whether it was a son or sons, we don't know the fullness, but he made them pass through the fire and gave his own children up and sacrificed them to the flames. He made his sons pass through, verse 6, through the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, and he practiced witchcraft and divination. He practiced sorcery and dealt with mediums and spiritists. And he did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 6 and 7 says, then he put the carved image of the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen for all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. He's putting the names of these abominations and these idols in the house of God. He just did a lot of evil things here. And this is going to build up here, and we're going to get to some serious points. And I will not again, verse 8, remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for your fathers, if only they will observe to do all that I have commanded them according to all the law, the statutes, the ordinances, and given through Moses. And verse 9, thus Manasseh misled Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the sons of Israel. And he knew this. God destroyed those nations because they were so evil, and yet he's doing more evil than all the nations that God destroyed of the heathen nations. In verse 10, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people. And what does your Bible say? The Lord spoke to Manasseh and the people, but what? They paid no attention to the Lord. You see, after all these abominations and all these things that God observed, because his eyes go to and fro, nothing escapes his notice. He sees the sacrifice of the children. He sees the divination and the witchcraft. He sees them setting up these idols in the house of God. All these things. And yet God, after all these things, but see, watch this, how it relates to us. We get so impatient with people because they slam the door of coming in from outside. You slam that door one more time, and you don't want to know. But they didn't mean to slam it. Or even if they did slam it, all they did was slam a door. And we're talking about sacrifice of children. We're talking about divination, witchcraft, and setting up abominations in the house of God. And all these evil things, and all the things not even mentioned here that he did. And all of a sudden, you see, church, you see how we are? We get so upset because somebody parked where we always park. Or sit in church where we sometimes sit all the time. And everybody knows I always sit there. Why are you sitting there? That's my seat. It's ridiculous. It should make us weep with God, forgive me for my foolishness. The use of somebody else's nail polish or hairspray, or you use the car and I had 3/4 and now it's a quarter of a tank, and you didn't even have the decency to tell me you used all that gas and you didn't top it off. I mean, it's just crazy how upset and how outraged we get over crazy things. And yet we're talking about some serious stuff here that God is willing to forgive. But no, not us. And you used my book the other day. You used my book, the same book we're sharing, and yet you crinkled the page. You didn't put the proper bookmark in it, and the pages are all messed up right now. It's just like the book is ringed or something. It's got a crease in a page. We can right now, everybody just start writing all the stupid, foolish things that have gotten us really upset. But it's really not worth it. You know, we don't have an ice maker. We fill the tray with water to get cubes. And every time you use or anybody uses the tray with the ice and you break it all out and get it all out, you got to fill it back with water and put it back in there. You understand that? How many times do we have to talk about this? And we're so mad, which is really unforgiveness. We used to have them all the time. We didn't have the ice maker. We had to do it the tray-wise. And people before that got the cubes of ice, and they had to chip them. Yeah. And they had the ice boxes, and the ice man came by. I wasn't there, but I know that that was the case. And before that, people went to the North Woods someplace to get ice and have it hauled down and all these kind of things to even get ice and chip it out of the mountains. from the ice packs, snow packs. You know what I just, we are something else. But all the while, we really want them to know how angry you are and how really in the moment and all that anger, you're not really forgiving person. You got to walk in forgiveness. You got to walk in it. You got to live it. You got to just walk in it. It is. It's an essence. It's a life. It's a bleeding of Jesus. You walk in forgiveness. Now, what about them that they need to get coming to them? God's going to take care of that. But it's not you that needs to judge that and make sure they get it right now. Nobody's getting by with anything. You can run, but you can't hide. The Lord wanted to talk to him about this. He wanted to talk to Israel all the time. We don't have time to get into that. Over and over again, sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent. But here is God in verse 10 after all this. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, and they paid no attention. Is it possible for you and I today to pay no attention to the Lord's voice of correction? The Lord's voice of correction, not yours. Please, how many times do I have to tell you, do not come into the house with your boots on? See, you can be so mad. You can be so angry over stuff that could be worked out so easily. Therefore, the Lord brought the commanders of the army of the king of Assyria against them. Okay, you don't want to listen? I'm going to use your enemies to give you a hard time. And they captured Manasseh with hooks bound with bronze chains and took him to Babylon. They took him with hooks through the nose is what that means. And led him like an animal into Babylon. And I can hear the Lord saying, in God's love, God saying, do I have your attention now? Do I have your attention now? You don't want to listen to me, so we're going to use the adversary to come against you and lead you captive. And in captivity, you're going to know you've been captured and you don't want to be there. Now let's see what you're going to do. All right? Therefore, the Lord brought the commanders, in verse 11 again, of the army of the king of Assyria against them, and they captured Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze chains, and took him to Babylon. And verse 12, very, very powerful. And when he was in what? What's your Bible say? Distress is what mine says. New American Standard Bible says distress. When he was in distress, now you want to take that word and really amplify that. He entreated the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. When he prayed in verse 13 to him, he was moved by his entreaty and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem, to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Have you ever had a revelation where the Lord got through to a hard heart or hard head, such as you or me or myself? And you just melted because you faced distress. You finally realized, you understood it. God, you got my attention. Now it's undivided. I was really divided before. I had all these things going. I even got to, can you imagine a person getting to a point where you sacrifice your own child thinking that you're doing right? Thinking, and it's happened throughout the ages. I mean, we know that. They took them on cliffs. They've thrown them off great mountains. They've thrown them into fires. They've tortured them in so many ways. They did all kind of rituals this way with family members. We know human sacrifice. It's probably still going on, I'm sure, in the world today. To get to a point to do such an abominations. And yet the Lord, through all this, all I'm saying to you today, I don't know what's been done to you or who's done what to you or what you think they have done to you, either mentally or physically or any other way. Look what He did and look at God's attitude. God is reaching out, wanting to save something that could possibly be saved. A man who has done all these things, how many of you would write him off? See, I want to make a point here by saying, too, he probably had a lot of enemies. Like it says in your handout, a lot of people who wanted his demise and death. That's what I think about Manasseh. God, I want him dead. And God says, I don't. Well, we have a disagreement here. Do you know what he did? Like God doesn't know. Did you see what he did? Did you see the child being sacrificed? Lord, God, did you see the abominations of the idolatry in your temple that you said only you shall dwell there? Did you see what he did, God? God says, yes, I saw everything he did. And I want to get his attention, and I want him to get his life turned around. But he's hard-headed. I'm going to try again. Brought him back with hooks in his mouth and his nose. He was in distress, and he greatly entreated the Lord. To entreat means to humble yourself, to appeal to God, to cry out to God. Evidently, he knew God was still there, huh? Some serious stuff. So, I look at this, and I have to relate it to my life and make it real. Lord, I want to feel this in my life. And what is being said right here is God sees it all. He's not willing, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. See, that's not only Manasseh, this is the whole world for all time, for all mankind. God so loved the world. He saw way beyond this in mankind. Way beyond this. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the God that we serve. God gave Jesus a gift to us, undeserving. All the religions of the world, you got to work for something. You got to work, work, work. We are saved by faith through grace. And not of works, lest any man should boast. Wow. What a mighty God we serve. And God is reaching out to this guy. He humbles himself. You know what he does at the end of his life? You know what he does at the end of his life? He did what Hezekiah, his dad, did. He went in and destroyed all the abominations that he had set up. Pretty powerful. His son was wicked. And then his son after him, the grandson, came along and destroyed it all again based upon his wickedness. And God looks with great favor upon those who have a heart and a passion after Him to destroy that which is abomination to Him. I don't know about you, but I got a lot out of this, and I applied it to my daily life, my daily walk with the Lord. It has a lot to do with understanding forgiveness. And starting with verse 14, it tells us the things that he began to do about rebuilding walls. In 15, he removed the foreign gods. In 16, he set up the altar of the Lord. In 17, it says the people still sacrificed in the high places, although only to the Lord their God. What a powerful, powerful illustration of God's mercy. In Daniel 9:9, in Daniel 9:9, it says, to the Lord our God belong compassion. King James says mercies and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against Him. Daniel 9:9. To the Lord our God belong compassion or mercies and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against Him. In your handouts today also, at the bottom, We have a paragraph, and I want to read it because perhaps not everyone who is listening to this today will have the handout to read this. But the last paragraph says, "Here we have a powerful example of God's great mercy, compassion, and grace to forgive and save the most vile and wicked concerning Manasseh." And then it says, "Look in the mirror for another example of God's grace and mercy. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." In Romans 10:9, "If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." So don't write people off. Don't write whether they're near or far away from you or near or far away in your memory. Don't write them off. Because God, who has been very, 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 very long-suffering with this world, is wanting us to get it right. Is wanting us to put on a heart of compassion and forgiveness as he did. The wrath of God will come upon the children of disobedience. We know that. The wrath of God will come upon the children of disobedience. We know that. We're not all going to the same place, this world. There will be a separation of the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats. There is heaven and there is hell. There's not in between. There is a destiny for those that have been washed in the blood of Jesus. There's a destiny for those who consider the preaching of the cross foolishness, as the word says. But the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But for those who put their trust in Jesus Christ, it is the power of salvation, redemption, and eternal life. What a mighty God we serve. So it gets us out of the business of judging people and the business of not forgiving them. It has nothing to do with that. You forgive, you let it go. You go on with your life. Even if somebody else doesn't forgive you, you forgive them, and your hands are clean. You live a life of a clean heart. And God will make sure that you receive all the revelation that you need, all the understanding that you need for any darkness that may be there in your life that needs to be cleaned out. But we're still covered by the blood of Jesus, even though we walk in many ways still in ignorance of certain things. But ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance can be hell. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty compassionate God we serve. A God that is willing and quick to forgive and wanting to forgive. Now, I want to share one last scripture with you. This is so powerful. In Isaiah 42, 1 through 3. Here Isaiah, the messianic prophet, is talking about Jesus. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." Isaiah 42, 1 through 3. This is 2. "He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice." People that are hurting hurt people. People that are hurting hurt people. And our great Savior in Isaiah 42, 1 through 3, that verse 3 says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice." And Manasseh, he was bruised. His light was dim. God could snuff it out in a heartbeat, just like that. Take that reed and just crush it to never return. He was bruised. He had a dimly burning lamp. But God reached down and saw something there after all that wickedness. And God forgave him. Why do we not full-time, 100%, want to do the same? Because we feel somebody has got something coming. And on our part, if we can, we're going to make sure we make them suffer by not forgiving them. And what good is that going to do to you? It'll do you no good whatsoever, but it will damage your relationship with the Lord Himself. It's been on my heart lately to share with you some different aspects of forgiveness. And I hope this helps today to encourage you to consider putting on a heart of compassion and forgiveness and walk a walk with Jesus and be in the habit of doing the things that He would have you to do and not any longer you. What a mighty God we serve, and may God help you to be able to accomplish His will on this earth as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Anyone else at this time, are you relating? Do you have a testimony that you would like, you think could benefit the rest of us? Do you relate to what we're saying today? Anyone at all? You have a...
It's about the Lord and about, you know, timing. Not necessarily relate, but I was at the Y the other day with John. Feeling pretty good. I walked in the locker room. Well, before we walked in the locker room, we met a gentleman in the pool. We were talking to him. His name was Matt. And then I heard someone talking, sharing the gospel with someone. Well, he wasn't sharing the gospel. He was sharing Jesus. They were sitting there in the locker room. And he says, it's not about trusting yourself. It's trusting someone else. And trusting. He was witnessing to the guy. But he wasn't giving any scripture. He was kind of back and forth. And the guy was countering him back and forth. And, well, I'm good now, and hopefully it'll pay off, and when I'm dying, I'll be right with God, and, you know, it's about relationship. And he went on and on, and I was like, wow, you know, give him some scripture, give him some meat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started changing, and then the guy went to the shower, and I turned to the guy, he said, hey, what's your name, Alan? And I said, did anybody tell you God loves you, and also plans on? I let him through. And I did it real loud because I wanted the gentleman to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So the other guy, and I felt, well, it's tag team. He didn't know what to do. He knew, but he didn't have the knowledge or the mm-hmm. scripture. The scripture is the most powerful mm-hmm. part about it. And so he accepted Christ, and I was happy. He was like, oh, thank you. And the guy came back and he goes, yeah, and he started talking to him again. And the guy goes, well, I understand now. I understand, but he didn't. You know, obviously didn't hear that, but mm-hmm. he goes, oh, that's good. You need to really pray about it. And he left. And I didn't have I didn't get a chance to catch up with him. But, it's amazing because you could talk about, you got to share scriptures, and you got to base your faith on scriptures. And same with you, you kept on trusting God.
Yes,
you didn't
yes.
give up. And I would never look in the garbage can.
It's God.
It would have been like a pride. No way.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to share that testimony. So it was great, and hopefully I'll run up with Matt again and let him know the good news. But it was really nice. He broke the ice for me. I just stepped in.
A daily experience walking with Jesus, though, it's just incredible, Drew. Really, I just thank God because every situation you just got to look to the Lord, you know. And
from losing your wallet to someone losing an opportunity to know about the Lord.
Yes, yeah, just incredible. He's out to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
Seek and save has a lot to do with.
It.
Yeah, it's just wow.
I couldn't relate because I lost my wallet.
I'm not the only one.
It's happened to me before. So
yeah.
mm-hmm. And it wasn't as dramatic as yours. But I started to feel that,
mm-hmm.
And I started to give into it. And I was like, oh my gosh, my wallet. Yeah, and then the Lord just said, no, don't go there. So I overcame. I started out that way, but I ended up listening to the Lord. He said, calm down, you'll be all right. And so I went to sleep and I found it the next day. So it was not a big deal, but I started to feel that come on me.
Mm-hmm. It's just so powerful. It absolutely rip you up. And it can be not just wall, it can be other things that we just get tore up about. But God wants to save that. He wants to save that relationship and not have us walk that way, not have us think that way, but to trust Him no matter what it is. It can relate to across the board, so many things, we know that. Anyone else? Did you have a good week? Everybody had a good week. I know Carol is not in here now, but man, oh man, wow, her computer crashed. No, we know Linda Godwin's computer got burned up. Burned up, gone. Burned up in a house fire, Linda Godwin. And then Carolyn's computer crashed. She ends up with a brand new computer and now getting all the files straight and everything because she uses it so much for the church. What a story. Here she is. What an incredible, incredible situation that came out of from crashing to God's great, great provision. A brand new computer. And just touching on it, Carolyn, it's just how many of you know that can be very, very like losing a wallet. You lose your computer. It's all relative. Yeah. Tremendous stress and manifestations of yuck.
But it's joy because I'm finding so much more. I mean, I am just in heaven now with this new computer. Oh.
You want the old one?
I'm sorry?
Would you like the old one? Just kind of...
I still got the old one.
You like the new one?
No,
Oh, you like the old one. Okay.
Is it like a Maserati? Is it a Maserati compared to a Volkswagen?
It's got so many... I'm just learning all the new tools, but what I'm also being able to do is all those old contacts and some of the messages that I had are gone, and people are reaching out back to me and copying me with stuff that they had from the files, so I'm getting the important stuff back. So I'm just looking at this like if I don't get it back, it just wasn't important. I had held on to so much stuff for so long that, and I hadn't used it. I was holding it just in case I needed to come back to somebody for something they said to me 3 years ago. You know, it's like, it's just not important anymore. So it's a fresh look at starting over and rebuilding.
You know, in my case, even though I got my wallet back, something happened. A freshness.
Yeah.
Of just absolute, just melting before the Lord of gratitude to Him. In this particular case, regardless of what I found my wallets before and stuff and different things, but to look in that trash barrel, I knew that was my God who loves me and is going to point out and direct and order my steps to be successful as I trust Him. That's what I know. How y'all are you feeling that? I mean, are you wanting to apply that?
Yeah, but about 4 years ago, I had my wallet either stolen or lost when we went to a pool. My sister-in-law mm-hmm. had lived in the complex that she has a pool, has an access to a pool. And so we went, my kids and they went, the little ones, we went over to Mary's, and I had just had a birthday, and I had $400 in that thing, and three credit cards, and I thought I didn't even miss it for a week because I didn't have money and didn't use no credit cards or anything, and then I went to search for it and it was gone. I couldn't find it. So I started tracing all my stuff back, and whoever got it, I'm thinking it was stolen more than, because we were on one side of the pool and our stuff was on one side of the pool, and it never did get returned. So I had to count them all the cards and everything.
I remember.